Christina, thank you very, very much. And it's a wonderful dovetail into you, Dr. Jacques Ludic. Thank you so very, very much for coming on. And again, you know, just as a bit of a cheesy thank you, but thank you for again studying philosophy, you know, in the very depths and breadths of philosophy, just like Dr. Christina, because by understanding, as you said, Christina, you know, the importance of bringing the human into the space, into the creativity, into this opportunity that we all have with Web3 is just outstanding. And Jacques, I know a lot of your spotlight is on well-being and health wellness. And, you know, and I love that bit about team mental health. So Jacques, AI and humanity, can you lead us away and tell us how we can use this in a decentralized world? Over to you.
Absolutely. I just would like to share my screen. Thanks, Susan.
Indeed you can. Sharad, Jacques there for the screen sharing?
Yes.
Let me just have a quick look.
Yeah, Jacques,
there.
You can.
Coffee. Okay, thanks. Okay, you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, I'll fire away. Thanks, Christina. Thanks to Susan and also Sharad. It's fantastic to be here. I'll get away straight on. So I'll be talking about AI and Web3, which is the next generation of the internet for a decentralized world in the smart technology era. A lot of my favorite words there, as also expressed in my book, Democratizing Artificial Intelligence to Benefit Everyone. The subtitle there is Shaping a Better Future in the Smart Technology Era. And that's very much part of my massive transformative purpose as well. And some of the businesses and things that I'm involved in. So quite excited to talk about this. And I normally start with this kind of slide because it just helps contextualize things as well. So on the y-axis, we see business value unlocking. On the x-axis, we see time. And we are really in the AI or the smart technology era that sits really on top of the internet era that generated the huge amounts of data for us really at an exponential rate. And it's basically provided the foundation for the AI era. So with the compute, we've got the data that's been generated there, and it's opened the door for the smart technology era. And it's if you look at the smart technology era, it's not just AI. We know that blockchain, and we're going to talk about this in this particular talk, Web3 and AI, how they combine to be the next generation of the decentralized world and internet. But there's a bunch of other technologies as well. There's blockchain, biotech, neurotech, nanotech, new energy, there's 3D printing, sensors, AI, robotics, drones. All of these kind of technologies fused together can create incredible applications. And what we see here is really linear to exponential growth trajectory as a result of these fusion of these kind of technologies. So the speed of technology change is exponential, effectively. Now, this is another interesting way of looking at this as well. It's like a four-dimensional way. So when we look at the bottom here, we see the smart technology era from the perspective of industry. So industry 1.0 all the way to industry 4.0, starting off with steam and water power and mechanization and going all the way to computers and automation in industry 3.0 as part of the information revolution. And then going to industry 4.0, which is really about cyber and physical systems. But you can also look at this on a society level. So going all the way from society 1.0, hunting and gathering society, agriculture, and then industrial society to the information society. And now we label ourselves as a smart society. We kind of enter that kind of era, society 5.0. And then again, we talk today about web AI. So you can actually trace back 1.0 quite far back if you think about just being focused on read. But if you think about Web 2.0, read-write, and Web 3.0 is read-write-execute or read-write-trust or read-write-earn, all about the creator economy. And then on the tools level, you can also see kind of biological brute strength, animals, basic tools going from to wind, water, steam power, and then with computers, having tools like cognition and memory, and then cybernetics is about the fusion of human and machine. So it's really, this all constitutes effectively the smart technology era, and it is a new era. So what we're all hoping for is a really a smarter world. In my mind, I would like to say a wiser world as well, because I think we would love to see humanity also becoming really wiser in terms of what we do. But in terms of a smarter world, it's all about real world AI, smarter apps, and really across cities, grids, homes, cars, devices, logistics, retail, construction, farming, healthcare. And if you just add the word smart to it, it could really be, this is the kind of future that we're moving towards. But we got to be careful. And in my book, I also talk about this analogy or meme around the runaway train. Because we live in, as humans, we see things more, we experience time as linear, but we really sit in times where we will be more and more surprised by exponential changes. So we need to be first principles thinkers. We need to think on our feet, make the right choices. And as I've mentioned, save our lives and get control of the situation and navigate things in the right direction to shape that better future. So we need to take control. So we need kind of visionary leadership in terms of this. And we know that as a civilization, there's a lot of system thinkers that think about where we're going as a civilization. And we are on a problematic trajectory and things that we need to think about. We do struggle with sense making and meaning making. There's wealth gaps, job loss, there's catastrophic risks, there's discrimination, data abuse, bias, human agency, all of these kind of things. But we can do something about this. And this is where we need visionary leadership, collective sense making, wisdom. See, I bring in the word wisdom because I think that's something that we need to really work on as a civilization, humanity. We need to think about global collaboration and not fight with all sorts of different issues. That's not going to be important in, say, 500 years' time or 1,000 years' time. So we need to think about humanity, our civilization, that we're moving in the right direction, and that we unlock the tremendous potential that we have with AI and other smart technologies. So the impact of AI on society, we know it's immense. I think with generative AI, it kind of announced itself to the world. It definitely affects my productivity already, but it also affects the effort and time we take to complete daily tasks, the way we search for information. We don't often always go to Google search. We do other things now. Understanding of complex problems, understanding of the brain, human intelligence. But clearly, it's also affecting privacy, transparency, ethics. And that also affects what we expect from the world, from business, from public services. So there's incredible potential to improve, enhance, reinvent, and also disrupt our lives, but we need to be smart about it. And from an emerging markets perspective, I think one of the big problems here in terms of impact is digital literacy, digitization. We don't want to have this being the largest separator, because this couldn't be in fact the case. And it won't be just purely religions, locations, and cultures. It might be that as well. So need to think about it. So this particular slide is just kind of very in a high level, just summarizing some of the potential benefits of society and social good, but also talk about the challenges. So on the benefit side, we already talked about new efficiencies and enhancing capacities, optimizing, augmenting people's lives. But from an applications perspective, I think I'm pretty excited about the future of education, the future of healthcare, because I think it will make an incredible impact there. It will personalize things as well. It will disrupt those applications and industries tremendously, which is going to be great. The future of work, that will change, obviously. But we've got to be aware of the risks. I'm concerned about surveillance capitalism, and also a concern about state surveillance. And then there are things like human agency. We don't want us as humans to lose control. So I would advocate.
Hi, Jacques. Yes. We lost you for about a minute, under a minute. We did. Okay. Yeah, but you were talking about human
agency. Where did you lose me? From impact, from here? Can you see me now?
Yeah, good.
Can I continue on this slide?
Yes, please. Just after this.
Okay, just after this. Okay, yeah.
The next one, Jacques. Yeah, we were looking forward to Mayhem, and you gave us Mayhem by dropping. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I was talking about Mayhem, and I did talk about what we need is visionary leadership, collective sense making, wisdom, practical actions to ensure that humanity and our civilization is moving in the right direction. I think that's going to be super important. This is what we need. What I talked about here was just the impact of AI on society. It's going to affect everything. It's going to affect our productivity, effort and time we take to complete daily tasks, the effect the way we search for information. It's already affecting the way I'm interacting, my productivity as well. Understanding of the brain, the human mind. I'm very interested in human intelligence and machine intelligence, and it's going to help with that. Obviously, it's going to impact privacy, transparency, ethics. Those kind of things are going to be very important. But if we think about digitization and digital literacy, it can become the largest separator. And obviously, that's a problem. And what we need to make sure that is not the case. We need to navigate in the right direction. So what I was talking about here was just the benefits for society and social good versus the risks, concerns, and challenges for society. And what I'm highlighting here on the left-hand side is some of the benefits here, producing new efficiencies, enhancing human capacities, optimizing, augmenting people's lives. And I truly believe that we can do these kind of things with this smart technology. We just need to navigate this in the right direction. I'm very optimistic about healthcare and education, more kind of personalized, ultra-personalized medicine, and so forth. So I think those kind of things will be incredibly important. And the future of work will be changed. I am concerned, though, however, about surveillance capitalism, state surveillance, and specifically things like human agency, loss of control. We don't want that. So I would love to see personalized AI that's actually helping us to be more robust and empower us as well. We've got to be careful with data abuse, with job loss, dependence locking, all those kind of things are super important. But there are solutions. We need, if we are visionary, or if we are really navigating this in the right direction, the problems that we face as humanity is global in nature. It is things like, obviously, nuclear power, those kind of things. We need to be very careful, not for energy generation, but in terms of from a war perspective, global wars perspective. We need to be very smart about those kind of things as well. But we need to improve our human collaboration across borders, stakeholders. If you think about lethal autonomous weapons, if you think about viruses around as well, those type of things, we need to collaborate as well. So we need to develop policies to assure that the development of AI will be directed at augmented humans and the common good. And we need to shift the priorities of economic, political, and education systems to empower individuals. So we need to prioritize people. We need to look at value-based systems. And that's what I've been talking in my book as well about. I'm talking about a massive transformative purpose for humanity, where we optimize quality of life and we're thinking about our values, because those are the things that are absolutely critical. And then if we think about the man-machine intelligence continuum, we are on a journey from assisted, augmented to autonomous intelligence. And we need to be smart about this as well and think about how, if we create these kind of different types of intelligences, intelligent agents, how is it actually complementing our lives and really help us to shape that better future? So I think that's going to be absolutely critical. I do have this slide from Kai-Fu Lee that I've just adapted, annotated a little bit, where you can actually position jobs of the future on this two-dimensional place instead of just a one-dimensional space where you look at optimization all the way to creativity and strategy. And what we have here is on the left quadrant, bottom quadrant here, is where tasks can be optimized. We've got routine tasks where you don't need compassion. You can have AI playing a heavy, significant role there. But when you move to the right here, it's like AI and human plus AI, because we're moving more to creativity and strategy, but it's still compassion not so much needed. But when we move up to the top side here, we can see AI with the warm embrace of humans where we've got autonomous augmented intelligence, assisted intelligence, and where compassion is needed. So we can define jobs, we can reward people for their positive contributions to society, civilization. And if we move to the right here, it could be a kind of a place where humans really play. Creativity, strategy, compassion, and we can add more dimensions as well. So what is AI? I'll be very short here. It's really the cognitive process of machines, the ability to learn, recognize, analyze, and make decisions. There's another more definitions that also talks about achieving goals. And if you think about generative AI, which is a subset of deep learning, machine learning, and AI, it's all about generating new, unique data or content that are similar to the data it was trained on. And there are many kind of definitions around this. And maybe in the later sessions, one can talk about these kind of things as well. But if you think about AI and Web3, the next generation of the internet for a decentralized world, we know what the impact of AI, the reasoning, learning, the problem solving, things that it can do. But with Web3, it's really the new vision of the internet. And as Sharad has mentioned, also, it could create a more decentralized, secure, and user-centric digital ecosystem. It could be built, it's built on the blockchain technology, and we can create trustless, transparent, and censorship-resistant applications and services. So it's really going from read-only static to read-write interactive, all the way to read-write trust and verifiable. That's what Web3 is about. And clearly, there's going to be super gains. We know about the gains that PwC talked about, specifically in terms of AI. We talked about $15.7 trillion added to the global economy, which is 14% increase in global GDP. Initially, it's all about labor productivity, but eventually it will be more about GDP gains from consumption side impacts as well. So that's how they look at this. So if you think about now AI and Web3 and the fusion of these things, we're really talking about the revolutionizing the way we interact with the internet and with each other as well. So an AI can power the new apps and services that are more personalized, efficient, and secure, and Web3 can provide a more open and democratic platform for innovation. And I like this kind of saying that what we are really talking about, this new era of decentralized innovation, is creating a decentralized world where intelligence meets trust. And that's effectively what we have with the combination and the fusion of this. And with this kind of Web3, we're looking at a kind of offering a read, write, own internet that is more equitable and secure for all users. So I'm quite excited about that. The benefits are really tremendous in terms of personalized experiences where you can recommend products and services that are relevant to users' interests. We already see that, but it's going to be more put on steroids effectively in a Web3 kind of context. We know about the security benefits, the efficiency benefits, and also democracy. So Web3 can provide a more open and democratic platform for innovation. And that excites me as well. Then there are challenges, and it's around the familiar ones, data privacy, the bias, and the regulation. But we can fix those kind of things. We can use encryption and anonymization techniques to help protect data privacy. We can use data from diverse ranges of sources and using algorithms that are designed to be fair, so we can address bias. And we can also regulate AI and Web3. We can protect users and make sure that we use it for good. So those are things that we can do. And then from a roadmap perspective, developing AI processing, decentralized data, these incredible things that one can do from this. We obviously need to think about efficiently analyze and process decentralized data. So this is where AI researchers and Web3 developers need to collaborate. We obviously need to think about ethics, ensuring transparency, accountability, and privacy. And I'm very much for promoting open source and then developing best practices around this. I think that's going to be super important. So to conclude, and I know we had a little bit of a breakup, but this is kind of a bit of a summary. It's really what we're talking about here is the unlocking of unprecedented possibilities in driving global innovation. And also talking about promises of economic growth and promises of a more equitable and decentralized future for all. So that is the first part. I maybe just want to end with this. In my book, I do talk about a massive transformative purpose for humanity. where we evolve a dynamic, empathic, prosperous, thriving, and self-optimizing civilization that benefits everyone in sustainable ways and in harmony with nature. And what I've defined there is also very specific. There's a bunch of goals around these four aspects. Decentralized adaptive systems. It needs to be adaptive to benefit all. Democratize smart tech to benefit all. Optimize quality of life to benefit all. And then sustainable, livable planet and exploring the universe. So this is what that is about. And there are very specific goals that complement the United Nations SDG, Sustainable Development Goals, in terms of helping to achieve this as well. And I do talk about this quite a bit in the book. And here I'm just mapping how this corresponds to the United Nations SDGs and Sustainable Development Goals. So each of these four areas are really contributing to that. And maybe finally, I'm quite passionate about personalized AI that's trustworthy, explainable, private, decentralized, human-centric, and user-controlled. And I think the era has arrived, especially in the creator economy with Web3. So I'm very excited about this. And if there's people interested to talk about this kind of thing, please feel free to do so. And on this note, I'll end. Thank you, Susan.
Well, thank you, Jacques. I mean, that was just outstanding. And that's not just me saying that. And we've got some wonderful comments from within the panel room as well, as within the audience. And there's also three fabulous questions in the Q&A, Jacques. And we had dropped a poll and I was going to do live Q&A with you, but I won't now because you just finished that so beautifully. You know, effects, all of the effects, the positive and the negative, and just the things that we can do to just make sure that this is a beneficial human-centric future. So may I kindly ask you to go in the Q&A, and you've got John Freeman there, Antonio and Aaron, who've given some great cues. You could answer them live. Bless you, Jacques, and let's drop your screen.